Now to our final crime at Christmas. We present Murder by Degrees by John Abinieri. Murder by Degrees.
Bromley Old Gentleman's Retirement Home.
Hello, matron. Long time no see. This is your old friend Parkinson, come to haunt you.
Oh.
I'll get back at you, don't you worry, you bitch.
You're not. You're not Parkinson. I don't believe you. You don't even sound like Parkinson. Mr. Parkinson was a nice old gentleman, and he would never have spoken to me like that. I'm not going to listen to you anymore. Oh, Lucy, that dreadful noise. I don't think I can stand much more of this. With that and this phantom phone caller.
You should tell the police.
I don't want them clumping all over the place. They only start a lot of tongues wagging, and that may be just what the caller wants. Oh, I am going to do nothing.
Always the same man's voice?
I think so. Talking through his handkerchief, I dare say.
That's not all he's talking through, if you ask me.
That's quite enough of that, Lucy. You'd best get back to your beds. Then I must go back to the office. Mr. Rice may be arriving at any moment.
I wonder what he'll be like. He'll make our numbers back up to 8.
Yes. Well, I've only met his relatives, and they seem very pleasant. Ballroom dancers, you know. They can't look after poor Mr. Rice. That's why they want him to come here.
Poor man. We'll look after him.
Yes, Lucy. We'll try and make him happy.
Can you spare a moment, dear Miss Fudworthy, darling?
Damn it.
In a hurry, Miss Al.
Miss Doyle.
That's quite enough of that, Miss Fudworthy.
Lucy, the beds. There you are, Vera. It is my bonny's birthday tomorrow, as you well know. I've brought him a few chocolates and a card.
I'll see he gets them, Miss Doyle. But you'll have to excuse me. We've a new gentleman arriving this evening.
Oh?
A Mr. Rice. It's always something of an occasion. By the way, did I mention that I have been obliged to increase the charges this year?
Me brother did say something. I rather hoped he'd got it wrong, as usual.
They don't like to be forgotten on their birthdays. It's one of the few occasions that I actually encourage their families to take them on little outings.
Barry and May quarrel like cat and dog when we're together. He's got plenty of money and he knows I could use a bit and he doesn't give a bloody damn.
Our new fees won't worry him then. Mr. Hamilton, one of our most popular residents, is being taken out by his niece today. And it isn't even his birthday. He seems quite excited about it. You'd really think he was going to spend a fortnight on the French Riviera instead of one chilly night in Dolly's Hill. Thank goodness. Now we might have a few hours' peace. Bulldozers outside the window. Great blocks of flats. Luxury flats, they're called. 40 families where there used to be 2. Squalor
everywhere. 5:30, I'll miss my boss.
Speculators have their eyes on this place, too.
Oh, dear me.
Mr. Gibbs trying to tempt me with 20 times what I paid for the freehold.
May I come up, Miss Fadworthy?
Well, that's him now. Yes, do come up, Mr. Gibbs.
Oh, thank you. Ah, there you are.
Mr. Gibbs? Miss Doyle?
Oh, how do you do, Mr. Gibbs? I must rush. I miss my bus.
If you keep popping in like this, I shall have to charge you rent.
I only came to ask you again to think about my offer.
I have stopped thinking about it. My mind is made up, Mr. Gibbs.
Women have been known to change their minds.
Some men cannot change the subject.
There's no hurry, you know.
Well, there is for me. You'll have to excuse me. I'm expecting Mr. Rice to arrive any minute. There's lots to arrange.
I can wait, my lady. Hello. Chocolates.
Put them chocolates down, Mr. Gibbs. They're not for you.
Lucy, you startled me. I didn't know you had a sweet tooth. You should have told me.
They're not for me. They're for Mr. Doyle's birthday. Personally, I think those big boxes are a waste of money. Quarter a pound of chocolates and half a pound of waste paper.
Oh, what a practical creature you are, Lucy. What does your fellow bribe you with?
I don't need bribing.
Oh.
Do us a favour, will you?
Anything. For you, anything. Name it.
Well, I don't leave here till after the shop's shut, and, well, I wanted to get a card for old Mr. Doyle. Mm-hmm. He's 80 tomorrow. Ah. It might be his last birthday.
And you believe in facing facts?
The newsagents at the station should still be open. I'll give you the money when you get back. Is that all right? Get him a nice one.
With a bit of verse.
Nothing sick or nasty.
Oh, no.
Something old-fashioned with roses or a bit of tinsel. A robin redbreast or something.
OK.
There. Isn't this room cosy?
How about you coming to live here when you're an old man, Mr. Gilbert?
If I had my way, this place would be gone next year. I'll look to the future, Lucy. A superb tower, mainly of glass. An integral part of the complex we're building out there. New materials, new people, a leisured class.
Sounds awful. Must be money in it for someone.
Quite right, Lucy. There's pots of money in it. And I hope Miss Fadworthy is aware of it. God, what the devil's that noise?
It's just the service lift coming up to the dining room next door for the dirty dishes. The meal must be over. Off you go, or the shops will be shut. Oh, I mustn't forget his chocolates. I don't want him to see them yet.
Allow me. I'll take them.
Oh, let go. Oh, you married men are all the same. Oh, you don't know your own strength. That hurts.
Oh, that's just passion, Lucy.
Now, let me see. I'll take it. Rook takes rook. Check.
Damn. Blow, winds, and crack your cheeks. Rage, blow.
We're trying to play chess, Hamilton, do you mind?
Spitfire!
Clear, clear off, Hamilton.
Fear not, buzzard old man. Within this very hour I shall be gone to visit the courts of the Philistine.
You ought to feel at home there, I dare say.
You're a lucky fellow, Hamilton, being allowed out of this dump.
I know that, Doyle. Still, I could have happily consumed another bowl of soup. But alas, communication with Annie proved too difficult.
A deaf cook, residing at the bottom of a lift shaft. It's ridiculous. Typical Fatworthy.
Matron loves Annie. She bought her the deaf aid.
Applied for it from the National Health, you mean?
Imagine the poor creature's life. Like a mole in the earth, shoving toad in the hole into the lift and seeing it rumble up to the sunlight where it is seized upon and masticated by geriatric dentures.
Oh, shut up, Hamilton.
Yes, do belt up, there's a good chap.
My public, they won't let me go.
All I'm saying is I just don't happen to believe in ghosts. The idea frightens me.
Ghosts don't exist. Why fear them?
Ross's ghost might be listening to me at this very minute.
Ah, poor old Ross.
At the same time, I don't believe in life after death. Oh, gloomy subject. Oh, by the way, Hamilton, I thought your niece was coming here to collect you.
She won't be long. Ah, here comes that ancient biped, Pinkerton. Come, sit over here, Pinkerton. It'll now take him most of the evening to cross the room. Keep moving, old son.
I'm coming, Mr. Sire. What's your name? Mr.
Hamilton.
Not true. He's offering me a withered limb to hold.
Can I help?
Here.
I've got you, Pinkerton. Oh,
right. No. Let's lower him gently into this armchair. Yes. Steady now, Pinkerton.
Belay him.
Steady, chap.
Say, it's really quite light. A featherweight.
Lean and slippered pantaloon. There we are. Comfortable.
Oh, there they are.
Oh, dear. Looks as if he wants to get up again.
I know what he wants. It's that pack of cards. Don't worry, Pinkerton, old chap, I'll get them. Wipe that saliva off his chin, there's a good chap through.
Emmy, come over here.
Won't be a minute. Here we are, Pinkerton.
Yes, thank you very much, Mr.
Hamilton. Back in a minute. What is it, Doyle, and why this excessively secret tone of voice?
Do me a favour. It's a secret, you see. I don't want my sister sticking a big nose in. Do you see that?
Of course I see it. I'm not blind.
What do you think it is?
Money. Coins.
Right. Money.
You should have handed that in to Miss Fadworthy on arrival. You know the regulations.
What the hell with the regulations? This is special money.
What's special about it?
It's pence.
Pence?
Oh, at the mere mention of money, you lads gather like vultures.
Old habits die hard.
I want to have it valued.
Why not count it?
Count it?
No, of course you can't. You're Irish. I'll count it for you.
It's no use having it. It's special money. Maundy money.
Maundy money?
That's most interesting. There seems to be quite a large amount.
Now, where did you get this money from, Doyle? I don't wish to be arrested.
Arrested? The Queen herself gave it to our family.
Why ever would the Queen do such a thing?
Payment for services rendered. Irish mercenaries keeping the British Empire and Irish navvies for knocking down all the best buildings in England and Irish barmen keeping them tanked up to do it.
Just a minute, it all comes back to me. The English monarch gives Maundy money to a certain number of old age pensioners living in the parish of Westminster. The amount is dependent on the age of the monarch.
You're quite right, Heppelwhite. Queen Victoria was on the throne. When my ancestors heard about the money, they moved from Kilburn to Westminster. Fortunately, the Queen lived a great age, God bless her. So there was plenty of this stuff. It's been handed down from father to son. Now I want it valued. I'm not sure that I want to sell it. After all, it was given to the Doyles by a queen. And that's about the only thing she ever did give to the poor, starving Irish.
I've listened patiently to your drivel, Doyle, and I'd still like to know where this money comes from.
Get it valued, please, Hammy. Just valued. There's no harm in that, is there? I just want to pawn it for a time.
How long for?
Until the end of the national hunt season.
Good God! Here's a giant crab coming towards us.
Hey, where are you two off to with that chessboard?
Look out, Phillips. Your Queen's Knight's pawn is defecting to my side. We're sliding all over the place. We're going to play in the linen cupboard.
That's strictly out of bounds.
Yes.
Too bad. It's far too noisy in here with you chaps bellowing at one another.
Listen, Abby. Will you do that for me?
I'll do my best.
Good man. Look, don't go away. I'll be back in a moment.
Oh, do look where you're going, Doyle. Three of us can't get out of the door at once.
Where are you two off to?
We thought it might be more peaceful in the linen cupboard.
Don't tell Matron I saw you. I'll follow you up in a minute. Quick, everybody. While Doyle's out the room, I want you to sign his birthday card.
What a pretty card.
Now you, Mr. Hamilton.
Huh?
Oh, what a bold signature.
Oh.
Mr. Heppelwhite.
There we are.
Now I'll try and catch those two naughty boys in the linen cupboard.
I must say, I'm surprised that it's Doyle's birthday. I could have sworn that he was born during the reign of Taurus. Taurus the Bull. I must remember to ask him about the hour of his birth so that I can do an accurate horoscope.
Don't tell me you believe in astrology as well.
Astrology is an exact science. It's rather like being surprised that I believe in weights and measures.
Excuse me. Did someone mention a birthday?
What about Pinkerton?
Oh, Lord. You'll have to be quick, dear. Here, I'll hold your hand for you. Oh, very nice. H. Pinkerton.
What's the H for?
It's your first name. Surely you haven't forgotten your first name.
I seem to have. It's just a temporary lapse.
H stands for Henry. Henry Pinkerton.
Ah, yes. That's right.
Thank you, Henry. Let me just kiss you good night. Ooh, what a lovely little shiny bald head.
Ooh, what do I have to do to get one of those?
Lose your hair!
I need a kiss, Lucy.
Oh, not just now, Mr. Doyle. I'm very busy.
Too busy for me, but not too busy for Pinkerton. I see.
Oh, come along, Mr. Hamilton. Time to go. Huh. Your niece is here. Ah. Now, that's your pyjamas in there. Let's get your coat on. Oh, there we go. They're waiting in the car.
Don't forget the you-know-what.
Never fear. My word is my bond.
I wonder if we shall ever see him again.
What? Hamilton?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you morbid gang. Of course you'll see him again. Hamilton and myself will outlive the rest of you. You know why? Because we've got spirit. That's why. We've got a zest for life.
Ah,
what do you mean, ah?
The others were full of the zest for life, weren't they, Heppelwhite?
The others? What others? What are you two imbeciles blithering about?
Those who disappeared.
Without leaving a trace?
Disappeared?
Without leaving a trace.
Did they live here?
That's right. They lived here. Dear old Ross. A dear, dear chap.
A bit crusty, mind you. A real doer, Scott. Smoked like a chimney.
He was a fanatical vegetarian. Ate grass.
And seaweed. Different varieties of seaweed. I don't know how he got hold of it. Smuggled it into the dining room. Made a hell of a mess. Sea urchins everywhere. And he still wears one of his old shrimping nets as a snood.
I thought Fanworthy was pretty decent about the whole business.
Yes. I've been in service myself, and I know what a trial that sort of thing can be. I mean, his bedroom was full of old herbs, plants, and beneficial fungi in various stages of decay, which smelled dreadful.
He even grew his own yoghurt in the bathroom. I thought it was shaving soap. Do you remember? I smelled like cheese for days. I remember asking Ross not to use my slipper as an ashtray. He was very hurt and said that he was working on the theory that pipe ash was good for gout.
And he disappeared?
He was here. We said good night to him and never saw him again, just like Parkinson.
Parkinson? He was another fella who disappeared without trace?
That's right.
You're kidding me.
Oh, not a bit, Doyle. Why should we do that? Parkinson disappeared quite soon after Ross.
It was about a year.
As long as that?
Well, Ross disappeared on the Ides of March. I remember noting the significance in my notebook.
Well, you would.
Whereas Parkinson went just before the introduction of the summer schedules on the railways. So that's over a year.
He was mad about steam engines. Read railway timetables instead of books. His body was never found. Parkinson even wore a train driver's cap in his bedroom. Fadworthy drew the line at him wearing it at mealtimes. His room was like Victoria Station. The floor was covered with track and rolling stock, all homemade and driven by meth.
Anyway, this fella, Parkinson, disappeared.
Never seen or heard of again. Left absolutely no trace.
Wasn't it reported to the police?
Well, of course it was. There was a long and detailed investigation. In the end, the police gave up and added his name to the list of missing persons. This isn't Russia, you know. People don't disappear without some sort of inquiry.
I'm glad to hear you think so.
As you can imagine, it was terrible for Miss Fadworthy. It gives the place such a bad name. Fortunately, there wasn't too much publicity.
Could help to advertise the place. I know plenty of young people who'd be quite glad to send us into a home and have us disappear.
Poor Ross and Parkinson. Where are you? Where, I wonder, are your spirits roaming? Are you here now, in this room? Can you hear us? Are you trying to break through the time barrier and speak to us?
Oh, cut it out, Hemmelwhite. So, now you think Hamilton might disappear.
If he does, I shall be very sorry, because I like the fellow. If he runs away with your Maundy money, on the other hand, I'd have the law on him.
There is a difference, you know, Phillips, between winning a piddling war and a game of chess.
Since you did neither, I can't really accept you as an authority. I know what happened in the last war, however, because I was in the War Office for the entire conflict.
It was you, was it, who was responsible for Dunkirk, then? The biggest balls up in the history of warfare.
It was the Dunkirk spirit buzzard old chap that won me the last game. I managed to retreat my entire defence without castling, and you permitted it.
You must come and meet them all before they go to bed. Listen, everybody. This is Mr. Rice.
Number 8.
Don't shut up.
I beg your pardon, Mr. Doyle.
Not you, matron. I was talking to these imbeciles.
That's Mr. Doyle, Mr. Rice.
Oh, what's that? Oh, how do you do, Mr. Doyle?
That's just the service lift going up into the dining room next door. You'll soon get used to it. Lucy, it'll be the drinks.
Yes, matron.
I'm afraid we have worse noises to contend with in the daytime.
Oh, really? That's a nuisance.
Demolition, Mr. Rice.
Oh, I see. Yes, demolition, I see.
I'm Hepplewhite.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's Mr. True.
Well, hello.
Have you
Colonel Bassett.
Evening, Russ.
Evening, Colonel.
Mr. Phillips.
Hi there.
And Mr. Pinkerton. This Thank is you. Mr. Okay. Rice.
Is Mr. Pinkerton all right?
He's asleep. It's long past his bedtime. It always is. This is our entire happy family, except for Mr. Hamilton, who's been allowed out on a visit. Oh, what do you like to drink, Mr. Rice? As a nightcap?
Oh, as a nightcap. I've never thought.
We all have cocoa, don't we?
Oh.
Except Mr. Doyle. He has coffee.
I see. Well, is there, is milk permitted? Milk with sugar? Perhaps I'd like that, you know, if that's all right.
Certainly. Milk with sugar. Lucy, send a note down to Annie in the lift.
Right. Oh, what a waste. Annie sent a drink up for Mr. Hamilton.
Told us specially that he wouldn't be here at bedtime. That is silly. Would anyone like an extra drink?
Oh, yes, please. I'd love it.
I'm exhausted all of a sudden. I'm off to bed.
Good night, Mr. Doyle. I hope you sleep well.
Good night, all.
Good night.
Oh, dear, I do believe I forgot to give you a fresh towel, Mr. Rice.
Oh.
Excuse me.
Oh, thank you very much.
Oh, I thought I was in bed. But I'm not. You couldn't give me a hand, could you? Oh. I could never get out of these armchairs. They're so deep and soft, like Mummy's lap.
Let me help you.
If I could just hold your wrist.
Yes, do.
Oh, a tattoo. That's unusual.
Yes.
That's better. Thanks. Thanks so much. Ah, here's Lucy. Good night, Lucy.
Good night, Henry. Doyle gone to bed? Good. I've been waiting to get you alone.
Oh, have you? Oh, but I'm not. I'm not alone.
Make the most of this moment, Rice, old lad. We all like to have a quiet moment with Lucy.
Now, Colonel. Good night.
Good night, Lucy.
I shall dream of you, Lucy, in your little black dress.
Albert Rice. Yes. Oh, thank you so much.
Not at all.
Good night and welcome, Mr. Rice.
Thank you.
Now, off you go, Lucy. You're later than usual. See you in the morning. Good night, my dear.
Good night, Mr. Rice.
Good night, Lucy.
I don't know what I'd do without Lucy. She's a treasure.
Yes, she seems very nice.
Well, another day over.
Yes. Milk. Very pleasant to drink. With just the right amount of sugar.
You're lucky. You don't need to watch your weight. You're nice and slim.
Oh, do you think so? Thank you, Miss Fadworthy. I don't think you're in the least overweight. In fact, I think you're nice and slim yourself.
Mr. Rice.
Yes, good night, Miss Fadworthy.
Don't forget your towel.
Oh, no, how silly. Yes, thank you. Good night.
I've just got to wind the clock and unplug the radio and television, you know. Yes. Evening chores. And then I'm ready for bed myself.
Yes, I expect you're tired. Well, good night.
Good night. Oh, who opened that window? Very naughty. Such a treacherous time of year. Oh, now, what can that be at this time of night? And he's so unpredictable. Oh, it's probably the utensils for tomorrow's breakfast. Oh, it's Mr. Rice's hot milk.
Emergency. Could you come at once to the Bromley Old Gentleman's Home, Chestnut Avenue? Oh, thank you.
I thought I heard voices in here, Lucy. Mr. Rice never got his milk. Look, I thought you'd gone home. Who are you ringing? What is the matter, girl?
I'm sorry. It's Mr. Doyle. He's dead in his bed. I've just rung the doctor.
If he's dead, he doesn't need a doctor.
I don't feel very well.
I'm not surprised. Must have been quite a shock. You should have called me at once. You go home and leave this to me.
What shall I do with this birthday card?
Don't cry, Lucy. Now straight home to bed.
I'm sorry, but it seems such a shame to die on your birthday.
Good night, Lucy. This time, go home. I don't want to find you still skulking about the place when the doctor arrives.
Don't worry. Good night.
Good night. Don't worry about locking up, Lucy. I'll come down and do it after you've gone. Oh, what a waste. What a waste. I suppose I'd better... Ugh. Warm milk with sugar. How can I? Ah, Annie's motorbike.
Good morning, sir.
Anything to report? Anything else happened in the night?
No, sir.
You've been sleeping in that armchair?
No, sir.
You've been wide awake and alert all night, have you?
Yes, sir.
No blood-curdling screams, then, eh?
No, sir.
Well, get the matron to give you some breakfast, Hicks, and then you can go off duty. But stay close to the phone.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Ah, there you are, Ramsden. Off you go, Hicks.
Yes, sir.
You found us all right, then. Obviously. I'm Inspector Parrott, by the way.
I've heard of you, sir.
Yes, and I've heard of you, Detective Sergeant, which is why I asked for you to help me with this case.
Ooh, is that a compliment, sir?
Possibly. I've read two of your reports today, so I found them interesting but overly elaborate. I thought I'd better get close enough to apply a corrective.
This is my first ever murder case.
We mustn't call it that. Didn't they teach you that at college? We don't know it's murder, do we? Now let's investigate and try and find out what happened. Look at this room. Just look at it. Books, games, strongly built furniture, chintz. Just add a playpen and a rocking chair and you have a nursery scene. Is our life just a series of events sandwiched between two nurseries?
A tale told by an idiot, sir.
What's that, Ransom?
Shakespeare, sir.
Oh, well, let's not worry about him. Ah, matron.
Inspector, I am particularly anxious that there should not be any lurid publicity about this unfortunate business.
Yes, quite understand, Miss Fadworthy. I've had Mr. Doyle's name added to the missing persons list.
Both Lucy and I had the impression that last night Mr. Doyle was dead. It's his body that seems to be missing.
Yes, but you have reported people missing before. I was looking at the records this morning.
Do you mind if we have the window shut, Inspector?
No.
I don't usually allow anyone to tamper with the windows. We have to watch the fuel bills, I'm afraid.
Yes.
And that noise... That's better.
Thank you, matron.
You'll just have to smoke your pipe a little less, that's all.
The history of reports of the missing. Ross, Parkinson. Any others?
Certainly not.
Puzzling. You and your maid only had the impression that Mr. Doyle was dead. He may not have been.
Well, why should Mr. Doyle pretend to be dead?
Hard to say. I didn't know the man. Might have been a plan to escape. Was he unhappy?
He seemed perfectly happy.
Well, there we are, then. Can we use this room all day?
Certainly. I suppose you'll want the ashtrays.
Ransom?
I don't smoke, sir.
Well, neither should you, Inspector. It's just silly affectation.
Yes, well, you may be right about that, matron. Could you, however, out of the goodness of your heart, spare one ashtray?
Very well.
Thank you. In the meantime, please carry on just as usual and let us know if we get in your way. Now, I'd like the old gentleman to be gathered together in the next room.
The dining room?
Yes. Oh, one more thing. We have informed Doyle's sister, Bridget Doyle, that her brother seems to be missing. She'll be along here later on.
She was here yesterday.
Was she? Does she often call?
As little as possible. She doesn't seem that fond of her brother, but it was his birthday. She brought him a box of chocolates.
Gave them to him personally?
No. No, she didn't see him. She gave them to us and asked us to give them to him.
Which you very kindly did. Last night?
That's right.
Yes, he may not have eaten them all. It's just an outside chance. Now, I'd like our labs to look at them. Just a routine investigation, Miss Fadworthy. No substitute for it. Would you mind giving this note and the chocolates to my driver immediately?
But, Inspector, you don't think that...
I try not to. I just investigate. Thank you for your cooperation so far.
I'll bring you an ashtray.
Thanks. There goes our first suspect, Ransom.
Yes, sir.
If it's murder, circumstantially... Maid finds body. Maid sent home by Miss Fadworthy. Doctor arrives. Body gone. The corpse, if it was a corpse, has gone. We are left with trying to establish motive, opportunity, and means. In the case of Miss Fadworthy, we have opportunity.
What about Lucy?
Oh, I thought you might be interested in Lucy Ramsden, aren't we all? No need to establish motive, opportunity, and means in your case, old son.
I beg your pardon, sir, but I don't think you should mistake your interest in young girls for mine. For all you know, sir, I might be more interested in young boys.
Right, Ramsden. So you'll have to watch me small talk from now on, I can see. It seems we're in for a long day. Fetch Mr. Phillips, will you?
Is it murder, Inspector?
Or have you heard that it is, Mr. Phillips? Why should Doyle have been murdered?
I've absolutely no idea.
Well, who in this building had a motive for killing him?
Why, no one, as far as I know.
Are you sure?
Ramsden.
Sorry, sir.
Are you sure?
Quite sure.
Good. And why do you think the police might want to arrest Mr. Doyle? Was there anything suspicious about his behaviour?
Well, there might have been. I have absolutely no idea.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Phillips. Now, what do you remember about the events of yesterday evening?
Not a great deal. I spent most of yesterday evening in the linen cupboard.
In the linen cupboard?
Yes, Inspector.
Well, where did you eat your evening meal?
In the dining room.
And you went straight from the dining room to the linen cupboard?
Oh, no. We're not really supposed to go into the linen cupboard. It's out of bounds, you see.
I see. And what did you plan to do in the linen cupboard?
Play chess, of course.
Of course.
We tried playing in the room for a bit.
We?
Yes. Chess is a game for two people.
I know that. But who was your opponent?
Oh, I beg your pardon. Yes, Buzzard. Colonel Buzzard. Ah! I could hardly wait for Colonel Buzzard to meet Inspector Parrot. Birdseed everywhere.
Ransom.
I beat him, by the way.
Well done, Mr. Phillips.
Now, why did you and Colonel Buzzard decide to go to the linen cupboard?
Noise, too much noise. We couldn't concentrate.
What noise?
It was Doyle. Doyle, as usual. Talking intrusively, talking endlessly.
Mm. What was he talking about?
It's hard to make out. Something about his sister. Queen Victoria came into it.
So you adjourned to the linen cupboard.
That's right, Inspector. Lucy came in later on and asked us to sign a birthday card for Doyle.
Ah, it was Doyle's birthday yesterday. I wonder if that's significant.
I don't know. You'll have to ask Hepplewhite. He's an expert in that field. Anyway, it was an intriguing game.
Did you and Colonel Buzzard spend the entire evening in the linen cupboard?
No, we didn't. We came downstairs. The new boy had arrived.
The new boy?
That would be Mr. Rice.
Oh. It would indeed. And then we had our drinks and went to bed.
Drinks? Drink? What drinks were they?
Oh, hot drinks before you go to bed, you know, the sort of thing. Cocoa. Well,
does everyone have cocoa?
Oh, I think so. I'm not sure.
Do you each have your own special mug?
I don't quite see what you mean, Inspector. Our own special mug.
One which is yours, always yours, with a special picture or pattern, so that no one ever drinks out of the wrong mug.
And we burst into tears if we don't get our own special little mug. Is that the idea?
No, that is not the idea.
We're not children, you know, Inspector.
Well, I know that. You drank out of the first mug that came along.
Naturally.
Then you went to bed.
That's right.
Upstairs?
The bedrooms are upstairs, yes.
Up the stairs in the hall?
Yes, Inspector.
I mean, there are no other stairs in the house, servant stairs at the back or anything.
No.
So that anyone wishing to go to Doyle's bedroom would have to climb those stairs to do so.
Yes. Unless, of course, they climbed the drain pipes or used the ladder from the building site.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Phillips. I think that'll be all.
And they would have to be fairly active to do that.
Yes, yes, thank you, Mr. Phillips. Mr. Hepplewhite?
Yes?
I'm Inspector Barrett, and this is Detective Sergeant Ramsden.
Oh, Ramsden? Ah, probably South Derbyshire. Oh,
North Derbyshire, actually, really? Towards the Peak District, you know.
Quite near from where I come from, myself.
Really?
Ramsden, do you think this is a police investigation or a Tupperware party? Now, I just want to ask you your opinion, Mr. Hepplewhite. Do you think Mr. Doyle is really dead?
It really does depend on what you mean by the phrase, really dead. Are you referring to his body or his spirit?
The body. Merely the body.
I see. This is serious.
Now, what would you say if I told you that last night Lucy, the maid, came downstairs and announced to Miss Fadworthy that Doyle was dead?
Did she? Well, I'm appalled.
Yes, if it's true, we're all appalled. Unfortunately, after this announcement, the body disappeared. Or so it has been alleged.
Disappeared? Really? Well, now that is most exciting. Most exciting indeed.
To a mere policeman, it's just a nuisance, Mr. Hepplewhite.
But even worse for an undertaker, I imagine. But to me, it is just what I've been waiting for. It's very exciting. I'm not surprised.
Have you any explanation to offer?
My goodness me, Inspector. If I could explain that, I would hold the key to the problem that has baffled the minds of men for centuries. I believe it was Pythagoras who first propounded the theory of the transmigration of souls.
Yes, well, how about the transmigration of bodies? What does Pythagoras have to say about that?
Are the police interested in that?
Well, in this case, very interested.
Amazing. I had no idea that the police were that advanced. No offence intended, Inspector, but I had no idea that you were officially using metensomatosis. Of course, it makes sense. Who could have a greater interest in metensomatosis than the homicide squad.
What in heaven's name is metensomatosis?
You don't know.
I'm afraid not.
Oh, that is a disappointment. For one wild moment, I thought we might be speaking the same language.
Yes.
Metensomatosis is the assimilation of one body by another through a process of disintegration or decay. I wonder if we should hold a seance here and now, without delay, Inspector.
Yes, well, I'm afraid I would not be allowed to use its finding as evidence, Mr. Hepplewhite.
Just as an experiment, Inspector. Please, this is a unique opportunity. They don't occur every day, you know.
Yes, sorry, Mr. Hepplewhite. Now, please, cast your mind back to last evening. Did you notice anything unusual? A departure from normal routine. It may be vital.
Yes, now, let me see. Mr. Rice arrived.
What about money?
Money? Oh, yes, money.
Yes, you know
Of
money.
Course. Maundy money. Doyle gave the money to Hamilton.
Are you quite sure it was Maundy money? It sounds most unusual.
Well, I think it was.
And Mr. Doyle gave it to Mr. Hamilton?
Well, he didn't exactly give it to him. It was not in Doyle's nature to give things away. He asked Hamilton to get it valued for him.
I see. Thank you, Mr. Hepplewhite. You've been most helpful.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Inspector. I have enjoyed our chat.
Thank you, Ramsden. Oh, and get Mr. True, please.
Oh, yes, sir.
Oh. Ah, Detective Sergeant, I brought you your ashtray.
Oh.
But I warn you, I don't like smoking. It's a messy business, and it's very bad for you.
Thank you, Miss Fadworthy. It's not for me, it's for the boss. Mr. True, please.
Ah,
good morning.
Mr. True, good morning. I'm Inspector Parrott. Do sit down.
Thank you very much.
How
How long have you been here?
Just over 6 years.
Quite a time, in fact.
I suppose so. I still seem to be quite fit, much to everyone's surprise.
You must like it here.
Oh, very much. Mind you, sir, I don't know how long the place is going to last. There are dark rumours. And that demolition seems to be getting nearer every day.
Yes.
It's the death watch beetle of our civilization.
Excuse me, sir. Ashtray from Matron. She repeated the government health warning.
Yes, thank you, Ramsden. Mr. True, did you like Doyle?
Oh, he was fine. A little irascible. Well, we all have our peculiarities.
Yes, and what were his?
For example, he used to spend a very long time in the bathroom. Frequently left the taps running. On one famous occasion, he flooded the upper floor and water came pouring through the ceiling. Poor Miss Fadworthy had to lay breakfast in her Wellington boots.
A matron didn't like him.
Oh, I wouldn't say that. No. I've been in service all my life. It used to be a butler, sir.
Yes.
Believe me, that sort of thing can be very irritating, especially early in the morning. Put your whole day out somehow. Miss Fadworthy is very long-suffering, in my opinion.
Yes. Well, was yesterday a routine evening?
I think so. After high tea, we all came in here. Buzzard and Phillips played chess. Doyle held forth. All quite normal, sir.
Nothing else?
Not that I can remember. I don't suppose it's of the least importance.
What?
We do seem to have had a lot of unexplained phone calls recently.
Yes?
Matron seems very shaken by them, and she's very particular that none of us should ever answer the telephone, sir.
Thank you. And what about Mr. Rice?
Ah, oh. What about that one?
What would you have done with Mr. Rice?
I would have let him through the front door. Except for his hands.
What would you have done with his hands, Mr. True?
I would have sent them straight to the head gardener, sir. He'd have found a use for them. Very rough hands, sir. Ah. Large, strong-looking, and rough.
Thank you. Now, that's interesting. Did Doyle and Rice meet at all?
Just for a moment. Before we went to bed, they were introduced. It's none of my business anymore, but I did think that the introductions were skimped. I hate that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Makes conversation so awkward. It's all right when you're dealing with the knobs, sir, if you know what I mean. They all know each other anyway. It's all one family when you get high up the social class ladder, but among ordinary folk.
Yes. So, Mr. Doyle and Mr. Rice were introduced, and then what happened?
I think Mr. Doyle said he was tired and went to bed.
Did he say that he was tired before or after his drink?
Pretty sure he was after his drink. Does it matter? Is it important, sir?
Oh, not a bit. I just want to get the order of events clear, that's all.
I'd say it was after. I think he wanted to change the subject. You see, sir, one or two of us had begun to rib him a little. He can't take that. He never likes to be ribbed. Not Doyle. He can dish it out all right, but he can't take it. Can't take it at all.
So you think he went to bed to avoid a scene he didn't like?
That's right, sir. That's my opinion, for what it's worth.
Thank you for your help, Mr. True.
Will that be all, sir?
Yes, thank you.
You're quite sure there's nothing else?
Quite sure.
Well, in that case...
Thank you, Mr. True. Mr. Pinkerton, I have to tell you, we are policemen.
Are you? Policemen?
That's right.
Yes.
Both of you?
Yes.
Even this kind young gentleman?
Yes, even this kind young gentleman.
Hmm. That's a coincidence. An amazing coincidence. Two policemen, eh?
Yes.
I believe it's the first time we've ever had two policemen staying here.
We are not staying here, Mr. Pinkerton.
Not staying here?
No.
Then what are you doing in this room, sitting in my favourite chair?
We are only here for today. We just want to ask you a couple of questions.
Oh. Questions?
Yes.
Oh dear.
Questions about what happened last night.
Oh dear. What happened last night?
Yes, what happened last night?
What happened last night? Where?
Here. What happened last night?
Did anything happen?
That's what we came to ask you.
Oh, last night. I don't think much happened. Just a moment. I think something's coming. Yes, yes. Here it comes. Yes, yes. Oh, it's going again. I'm sorry. Yes, it seems to be going. Yes, there it goes. It's gone. What a pity.
Never mind, Mr. Pinkerton, it's of no importance.
Here it comes again. Lucy. Henry. Birthday card. Doyle. Climbed the stairs on my own. Forgot to switch the light off. Had to get out of bed again. Can I have Teddy, Mummy?
You've done very well, sir. Thank you, Mr. Pinkerton. You've been an immense help. Now, Ramsden will take you upstairs again.
Upstairs again? That's a long climb, you know.
Don't worry, sir. I'll help you.
It's a long climb, young man. I warn you.
Don't worry, sir. We'll rest when we get to that half landing.
We'll need to rest long before that.
I told Mr. Gibbs I would never sell. I'm afraid I had to tell him quite a number of times. He seems to be obsessed.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose there's a lot of money in it for him, perhaps.
Yes, well, it seems likely. Ramsden, I think I would like to get hold of this Mr. Gibbs.
Yes, sir.
I shouldn't bother, Inspector. He's bound to call in. He comes every day.
Well, please send him in as soon as he arrives.
It'll be a pleasure.
Any other strangers?
Only Mr. Rice.
Oh, Mr. Rice. Yes, of course. Anything else you care to mention?
I don't think so. If you've finished, I'll take the coffee cups. Thank you.
No disturbing messages?
No.
Or threats?
Threats? Certainly not.
Or phone calls?
I don't think so. We get our quota of wrong numbers.
Thank you, Matron. Charming woman.
You so, I believe, was Clytemnestra. It didn't seem to inhibit her when it came to chopping up her husband with a bloody meat axe while he was having his bath.
Are they giving you a classical education nowadays at police college?
I think that item came from Crimes of Passion, because a lover helped her do it. Or it could have been the axe as an aid to homicide, or maybe the convenience of murder in the bath, for obvious reasons.
Well, none of these well-worn clichés seem to apply here. No, someone in desperate need of money, perhaps, under severe pressure. His sister, perhaps? The chocolates! Oh. Doyle ate two of the chocolates. I assume it was he who ate them. There were only two missing. He probably ate them while he was alone in his room.
Was every chocolate poisoned, or just the two which he ate?
Exactly. And how could she be sure that he would eat the two poisoned ones?
Being his sister, she must have known his favourite flavour and loaded it with poison. She gambled he'd see it as soon as he opened the box and would eat it before anyone else had the chance. If he didn't eat it, fine, as long as no one else did. Is there going to be a police inquiry every time an old man dies in an old people's home? We wouldn't be here now if it weren't for the fact that Lucy reported a death and then the body disappeared. Am I right?
I've no idea whether you're right or not. I just listen.
Get Mr. Rice.
Oh, you must be mistaken, Inspector. I mean, it's so peaceful here.
Have you never noticed, Mr. Rice, that murders are frequently committed in peaceful and secluded places, down rustic lanes, in bathrooms, on the altar steps of Canterbury Cathedral, at night? In the case of premeditated murder, time and place are selected with utmost care, like a lover choosing a rendezvous.
Oh, Inspector, I've never thought about that before.
Not your job, Mr. Rice. Now, I know you've only been here a short while, but what's your impression of the place?
Oh, it seems very friendly and familiar somehow. Oh. I get the impression that the atmosphere of the place is due to the presence of Miss Fadworthy.
You get on well with her, do you?
Oh, yes, from the very first moment I met Miss Fadworthy, I suddenly felt content, sort of relaxed, you know, and at the same time excited, as if we were kindred spirits. Most unexpected combination of sensations, which... Oh, dear. I do seem to be running on a bit. I'm so sorry.
You seem to be fond of her, Mr. Rice. Where were you before you came here?
Oh, I was living with relations, the dexterous duo, their dancers.
Oh.
I think I was in the way a bit. They never said so, of course. They wouldn't, but...
I see. I believe that you met Mr. Doyle last night, briefly.
Oh, Mr. Doyle. Oh, yes. Last night, just before he went to bed.
It is his disappearance we're here to investigate.
Really?
Yes.
Well, he never even spoke to me, you know. He just drank his coffee and went to bed, and then later on...
Just a minute, Mr. Rice. Forgive me for interrupting. Did you just say Mr. Doyle drank his coffee before he went to bed?
Yes. That's quite right, Inspector.
Is that the truth?
Oh, yes. Nothing but.
Well, I've been given to understand you all had cocoa.
Oh, I'm not in the habit of making false statements. Mr. Doyle had coffee. I ordered a glass of warm milk and sugar, and I never got it, and the rest had cocoa. If you care to check with Annie, you'll find that to be an accurate statement.
Annie, the cook who lives in the basement.
Oh, she doesn't live there. She works there.
Thank you, Mr. Rice. You've been a great help.
You mean I can go?
Absolutely.
You're not going to have me tailed, then, or...
Tailed?
Followed in any way?
Followed? No. I'm sorry, I can't spare the men. Anyway, you're only going as far as your bedroom. Ramsden?
Yes, sir. Through here, please, Mr. Rice.
Oh.
Yes, please.
Applewhite was right. Rice is a strange man.
Yeah, I must say, I thought Applewhite was pretty strange. By comparison, Rice seemed quite sober and rather ordinary.
No, Ramsden, that was a man sitting on a volcano. Anyway, we've learned that Doyle was the only inmate to have coffee. Now, how convenient for someone. Someone wanted to poison or drug Doyle. Who brought in the tray?
Lucy. Lucy Garrett.
Well, what about the cook, Annie Chutter? She made the drinks and sent them out on the service lift?
Possibly Fadworth, if she presided over the drinks tray, as I imagine she would. We're looking for someone who knew that Doyle was the only coffee drinker. Well, it's just about everybody, I should think.
At least it would rule out Mr. Rice and Miss Doyle and Mr. Gibbs. Oh, to hell with it. Get Lucy in here.
Yes, sir.
Ah, sit down, Lucy. We won't keep you long.
Sorry, sir.
I believe that you were the last person to see Mr. Doyle alive.
No. When I saw him, he was dead.
Are you sure? How many dead people have you seen?
Quite a few. They usually die in the morning, poor things. It was the old fellow's birthday yesterday. His sister turned up to give him a present. That's how I knew. Oh, by the way... She's here now, waiting downstairs.
Thanks, go on.
What? Oh, where was I? Oh, yes. So I sent Gibby out for a card.
Mr. Gibbs.
That's him. When he brought it back, I collected all the signatures and went up to his room. Miss Fadworthy had given him his chocolates earlier. As I bent to slip the card under the door, I noticed his light was on. Matron's quite hot about that sort of thing, so I opened the door very quietly, so as not to wake him. And there he was, lying full length on the bed, still in his clothes, the box of chocolates open beside him. Dead!
Oh, Lucy.
Did you take his pulse or listen to his heartbeats?
I just called the doctor. I thought he could take Mr. Doyle's pulse and listen to his heartbeats better than I could.
Right.
Anyway, I knew he was dead.
Well, that may have been just what Doyle wanted you to do. While you were down there phoning, he got up and left, which may be why he hadn't undressed.
Wicked old devil. Oh, I hope you're right, Inspector.
Oh, so do I. It's just a theory, but it's beginning to look more and more likely every minute. Thank you, Lucy.
Excuse me, buttoning like this. I was all ready to go shopping when the telephone went and left me with my poor stomach quaking. And now my feet is killing me for I had to walk, there being no buses this day of national demonstration.
Oh, my God.
Now, poor Barry's dead. I've a holy mass to arrange and the booze to buy and some flowers.
Well, Inspector, if that's all...
Yes, thank you, Lucy. And Miss Doyle, was your brother a Catholic?
Oh, to be sure. The Catholic religion is the only proper religion. I know that's true because I had it from a priest. I think I'll fly his poor body to Waterford, to his family, if you don't mind.
Yes, we'll need to find his body first.
Find it? Why, you've not lost it already.
We've not seen it. Never clapped eyes on the gentleman.
Have you looked in his room?
It's not there, I'm afraid.
Where did he die?
Well, we're not even sure that he's dead.
But Vera Fadworthy told me on the telephone. If he's not dead, what are you gentlemen doing here?
Miss Fadworthy shouldn't have told you that. She should have left all that to the police.
The police? What next? We don't want to bring the police into this. The police is like your relatives. Invite them into your house for a moment and you'll never get rid of them.
Well, some people seem to find it quite easy to get rid of their relatives.
I don't know what you mean by that, I'm sure. What are funeral gentlemen doing here if there's no corpse to be buried?
We are the police. We are inquiring into the sudden disappearance of your brother. And the more I go on with this, the more I wish I'd never stopped.
That means I've walked all this way for nothing.
Yeah.
The world seemed a bit emptier this morning. I hope he is still alive somewhere. And as for the money, I could have made some use of it 30 years ago. Might even have got myself married. Barry wouldn't give me a penny. But who wants money at my time of life?
Why did you give him chocolates for his birthday?
Oh, he's always been fond of them, ever since we were children. And allowed one each after lunch. And anyway, they were going cheap at the hypermarket.
Thank you, Miss Doyle. Ask my driver to take you home. He's sitting downstairs doing nothing.
Ah, that would be great. Thank you, sir.
Even if she did murder her brother in order to benefit from his will, how did she spirit his body away?
I don't know, sir. We seem to be getting nowhere.
Yeah.
Shall I bring in Colonel Buzzard? He's been waiting quite a long time.
Well, wheel him in, and thank God for lunchtime.
Colonel Buzzard! Could you come in now, please? I'm sorry it's been such a long wait.
I'm used to that. Most colonel in the RHA, you know. Used to waiting. Waiting for orders from Whitehall to commit suicide.
Yes, sir. You've heard about Doyle?
Rumours, old boy. Shouldn't believe it until it's confirmed. If it's true, I shall miss him. Was it an easy death?
We could answer that question if we could find the body.
Lost, is it? Oh, that's awkward. Used to happen a lot in the war. Bodies got lost. Well, you only found bits of them. You didn't know which bits belonged to which. He's probably gone absent, you know. He'll turn up when he's hungry.
Yes, well, I hope so. Can you think of anyone who might have murdered him?
I'm the only one here with the nerve to do that sort of thing. The nerve and the know-how. No. I can't think of anyone, Inspector.
Good of you to spare the time, Colonel.
Not at all, old boy. Not at all.
The labs say no poison in the chocolates. Oh. It's the two that are missing that we want to know about. And they're inside Doyle's body, presumably. Ah, Miss Fatworthy. Come over with Annie, the cook.
You know she's stone deaf.
Nevertheless...
She won't come up here. Never does. She said she's got enough to do without wasting time talking a lot of...
Very well. We will go down to the basement and talk to her there.
Did the teacher sign language at that college house?
Disgusting smell. Smoking such a filthy habit. Men, I must empty these at once. Oh, Gibbs, do be careful.
Sorry, Vera. Here, allow me. See, you've got the police here. Met them going downstairs, tell them a mile off. What'll you do if the newspapers get wind of it? All they have to do is tickle Lucy and they'll get the whole story. Or someone might give it to them. And you'll be in a similar position to a seaside landlady at Sellafield Beach.
Who would tell the newspapers? Who would do such a thing?
I brought the takeover documents with me.
Takeover documents?
Oh, that's what I call them. It's the form I told you about. You get a fat fee, my firm gets this site to develop as part of its scheme for the area.
I have seen that scheme, displayed in the town hall. And I'm sorry to say, Mr. Gibbs, I don't care for it. At all. In fact, I dislike it.
Oh, I'm sorry. It incorporates many new building materials. I suppose you don't like those.
I don't. I think they look vulgar and garish.
Oh, both vulgar and garish.
Yes, both.
I'm sorry to hear that, Miss Fadworthy. However, if this story gets out, you may have to sell to us whether you like our scheme or not. I wouldn't send my old dad here, not unless I wanted to be rid of him. Anyway, I'll leave the documents with you, just in case you change your mind and decide to sell. Here, take them. Read them over at your leisure. I'm sure you'll find them very interesting. I'll put them in your pocket for you.
You're a ruthless man, aren't you, Mr. Gibbs?
Where my ambitions are concerned, yes. Quite ruthless.
Don't go. I believe the police wish to interview you.
Mr. Gibbs, could you please give me an account of your movements last evening, where and how you spent your time?
Certainly. Last night I went to the pictures.
A local cinema?
No.
Or could someone corroborate that you were there?
The girl in the ticket office might, but I doubt it.
Well, did you go alone?
My wife dislikes the cinema. She prefers the theatre. I always go alone.
Mm. Where was the cinema? Which one?
It's called Studio 11. Shows one-nighters.
What was showing last night?
Henry V.
Oh, lovely film.
Thank you, Ramsden. Was there anything showing with it?
Something called The Prairie Hides My Bones.
Oh, I haven't heard of that one. Any good?
Not bad. Very cheaply made, I should think.
Good plot.
Predictable.
It's a Western, isn't it?
That's right.
Ramsden, I know you're a culture voucher, but would you kindly confine yourself to making notes? I will endeavour to conduct the investigation.
Sorry, sir.
Now, Mr. Gibbs, what time did you get home last night?
Oh, around midnight.
You live locally, I believe.
Yes, Inspector.
Did you go up to town by train or by car last night?
By car.
Well, I don't think we need trouble you any further, Mr. Gibbs. Oh, by the way, is that your firm making all that mess out there?
Yes, I'm afraid it is.
Is that your car, parked there by that shed thing, the white Mercedes with the soft top?
Yeah, yes, it is.
Very nice. Very nice indeed, sir. That'll be all. Thank you, Mr. Gibbs.
Oh, right. Thank you, Inspector.
Well, Ramsden, you're obviously bursting. Speak.
The man's lying. The Prairie Hides My Bones isn't a Western. He hasn't seen it. He's just looked up the programme in the paper. Thought he'd be safe with Henry V. The Prairie Hides My Bones is two Harvard professors excavating the prairie to find the origin of the bison. But they find much more than the bones of early bison.
Ramsden,
they find
the skeleton don't of... tell me. Surprise me with it over lunch. I'm dying for a drink.
Yes, Parrot.
Ah, I thought that would happen. Yes. We'll bring him here as soon as you can. I'm looking forward to a word with him. Now, listen, Fred... check up on the movements of a white Mercedes soft top. This year or last year, I should think. There can't be many in this district. We'll treat it as a challenge. Bye. Another case solved, Ramsden.
Why? What's happened?
Well, they've picked the old boy up. He's in a state of shock. They found him wandering the countryside naked.
Ooh.
He's been brought back here, poor old devil. To the local pub. We'll see him after lunch.
My dear Inspector, I am no longer in a state of shock and feel pretty confident that my name is in fact Hamilton and not Doyle. Sorry to disappoint you.
If you'd said so straight away to our men, they might have saved a lot of misunderstanding.
I am an actor. I am used to being recognized.
When the police found you, you were stark naked. How were they supposed to recognize you?
My profile. My profile is famous.
Yes, I admit it rings a bell. I seem to have seen you somewhere before. What the devil were you doing dancing about in your birthday suit? Auditioning for a nude show, I suppose.
Certainly not. My physique is not what it was. You should have seen me 40 years ago.
I did see you 40 years ago. You were playing some sort of detective, as far as I remember. He was a bit of a bungler.
A bungling detective? Who could that have been? Hamlet, perhaps. I played it first at the Garrick in 1932.
No, it wasn't Hamlet. This geezer committed incest with his mother, having first killed his father.
Good Lord, sir. How on earth did he get into the force?
Killed his father, incest with his mother. Let me see. This is the tragedy of Oedipus. Oedipus the King, which I did at the People's Palace on the Mile End Road during the last war.
That's it. Anyway, Mr. Hamilton, I need help in this case. You must give us a statement.
On what compulsion must I? Tell me that.
You had Mr. Doyle's money in your possession.
Still have. So what?
Be kind. We gave you a lift in a police car. In return, please give us an explanation.
Put like that, how can I resist? I warn you, it's a long story.
The nights are drawing in.
You must know, then, that I have been staying with my niece and her husband. They're kind people and mean no harm, but my niece calls me Grandpa and addresses me in the third person thus. Would Grandpa like another cup of tea? Never whiskey, I'm afraid. Or, naughty Grandpa, he takes too much sugar. This from a niece. She grinds my finest utterances to trivia. I know that she means well. If only she were wicked. A bit saucy. I mean, she's not ugly. She has, after all, her mother's firm bosom. Mind you, it looked better on her mother. If only her eyes would flash occasionally, or she tossed her head or stamped her feet. Not a chance, Inspector. And her husband is very similar. A nice walk in the fresh air is what you need, Grandad.
Granddad!
Oh, I'd like to see him... fight Tybalt twice nightly with sword and poniard!
Yes, I think I've got the picture, Hamilton.
And that, Inspector, is just the end of the beginning.
I was afraid of that.
It would do me good, they decided, to visit the Ideal Future exhibition at Earl's Court. The hall was suffused with a ghastly psychedelic light beamed from rotating orbs. ear-splitting sounds from huge amplifiers on the walls. Various displays invited a contemplation of man's probable future. Flavored food capsules, aphrodisiac chocolates with contraceptive soft centers, cylindrical car parks, and so on. At first, I just felt rather ill. A great sob like a huge bubble welled up inside me. I thought I might faint. I made an excuse and slipped out of a side entrance. On the pavement, oh, there was a heck of a crowd, and the traffic roared and belched. "Towards Chertsey, noble lord," I said, as I thumbed a lift. As a child, I lived for a time in a riverside cottage not far from there. The driver dropped me just this side of Chertsey. I was in my village, and I didn't recognize it. Where was the river I had swum in as a little lad? All gone. Quite gone. No life. I began to run. I had to find my river, you see. Where was it? Suddenly, I saw a familiar-looking pathway. Our old cottage was at the bottom of this lane. I would see it in a minute. Georgian, with a green front door and a window box crammed with geraniums. My mother's auburn locks gracefully coiled onto her head, her hands rough from gardening a small plot, an island in the long grass, the nettles, dog daisies. All at once I stood, panting on level black tarmac, hot to the soles of the feet. The river bank was a car park. Our cottage was a block of flats. I suppose the shock and disappointment were too much for me, Inspector.
Yes.
I began to rage and shout and tore off my clothes and waded out into the river. The water, once sweet, now stank most horribly under its rainbow film of oil. I turned for the bank and caught my foot in a car spring. Windows in the flats opened. Someone who called me Grandpa shouted that I ought to be ashamed. My nakedness wasn't respectable. I argued with her as best I could, given the distance which separated us and my efforts to disentangle my foot from the car spring. Thus we continued until the police arrived.
But why didn't you say who you were?
I was too ashamed. I had made a complete fool of myself. I permitted your man to dress me, and when we got to the police station, I told them I was from the Bromley home. They seemed very pleased and laid on a car for me.
Well, in the circumstances, we won't press charges. You've had enough problems for one day.
These problems are not mine. They're yours, yours and your children's. I'll soon be dead. And if Doyle sent you after me because he was worried about his money, you can tell the old skinflint that it's all here, safe and sound.
Mr. Hamilton, do you think he may have been murdered?
Certainly. How else could such a fellow die?
Well, how's it done?
Poison?
The coffee.
Could have been anything. It all tastes like poison.
And how was the body made to disappear?
The poison must have destroyed the whole body. And just left a small heap of whitened bone powder somewhere. Have you searched?
No.
Is there a small heap of something in his room?
I really don't know.
Have you looked in the vacuum cleaner bag?
No, not yet.
Well, there you are then.
Yes.
Let me know what you find. I'm dog tired. I'm off to bed, if you'll excuse me. By the way, this stuff belongs to Doyle.
Ah, yes, thank you.
Or his next of kin. Poor old Doyle. You really mustn't pay too much attention to me, Inspector. He wasn't a bad fellow, really. I shall miss him.
Sleep well, Mr. Hamilton.
That seems to put us back to roughly where we started.
You can say that again.
Shall we see you again tomorrow?
Not unless something turns up.
You mean something fresh?
I mean Doyle's body.
I see. Well, that's that then. I must begin to think about tea. Excuse me.
Yes, madam. Yes, speaking. Yes, Fred. Interesting. That'll do nicely. Thanks.
Are we making our report today?
Ramsden, ask Matron if she can spare us some of that tea.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Gibbs, a white Mercedes identified as yours was seen last night, parked up by the golf course on the Heath Road. There were two people in it. You were seen by a woman walking a dog. Shall I ring your wife and ask her whether she was with you in the car last night?
I'd rather you didn't.
You've lied to us, sir. It's not advisable. Puts us to extra work and makes us suspicious and even unsympathetic.
Yes, I can see that.
You don't want a lot of disillusioned policemen after you, do you, sir?
Not particularly.
Tea, Inspector. Sorry for the delay.
That's fine. Now, Mr. Gibbs, that trip to the pictures was just something you had up your sleeve in case your wife asked you where you'd been. Am I right?
Absolutely right, I'm
afraid. Thank you, Matron.
Sugar, Inspector?
Not in tea, thank you.
What about you, young man?
Oh, two, please.
I haven't brought you a cup, I'm afraid, Mr. Gibbs.
That's all right. I can't stop. That is, if you've finished with me, Inspector.
Yes, Mr. Gibbs. You know that you are entitled to have a legal representative present at times like these?
Oh, yes.
And the fact that you chose to prevaricate and hide the truth invites further investigation. Oh, Miss Fadworthy, I hope that you will treat anything you may have overheard as confidential.
Well, naturally, Inspector. But here, let me give you your papers back, Mr. Gibbs. As I told you, I don't intend to sign them. Please don't worry about your little secret. You keep mine, and I'll keep yours. Now, I must get on. Excuse me.
Oh, yes, madam.
Charming woman.
Can't think what she means.
It'll probably come to you later, sir.
Come along, Ramsden. Good night, sir.
Good night. I'm coming too.
Can we use the room again? Only the troops are getting restless. They've been cooped up all day.
Yes, we're just off. Bye-bye, Lucy.
Bye-bye, Lucy.
You can come in now, everybody.
Will this wine glass do?
Couldn't be better. Oh, come on, you two. You can play chess some other time. We want to try and get in touch with Doyle. Would you all sit down, please? Now, I place this upturned wine glass in the middle of the table. There. Now, each of you place one finger gently on the glass, thus. Just let it rest there. We must all close our eyes and concentrate on Doyle as we knew him. Are we ready? Doyle? Doyle, are you there? Give us a sign. Is it you, Doyle?
I can feel it moving.
Well done, Rice. Keep your eyes shut. We mustn't direct it.
It stopped. Between tea and then.
Let's do it again. Close your eyes and concentrate.
This time, it stopped between I and O.
That's T-I or T-O or N-I or N-O.
The permutations will get quite involved if it's a long word.
Don't worry. Doyle doesn't know any long words. The answer is obviously N-O, no. He's saying he's not there. So let's get on with our chess, Phillips.
No, Colonel. Really? If Doyle is saying no, he must be there to say it.
Oh, he's there. He just doesn't want to talk to us. So he's saying he isn't there. Let's shuffle the cards and lay them out again. That'll fool him.
All right. Good idea. It will add authenticity to our findings. Mind the glass now. Right. Are we ready? Let's try again.
This time he's chosen just one letter. S. That's N-O-S, N-I-S.
Or T-I-S-T-O-S.
What was the question?
First I said, Doyle, are you there? Then I changed my mind, I don't know why, and said, is it you? Give us a sign. Is it you, Doyle?
And that's your answer. T-I-S.
Is it you, Doyle? Tis. Of course, thank you, True. Doyle was always saying tis instead of it is.
I think you're stretching it a bit, Hepperwood. Let me ask the next question.
Very well, Colonel. Close your eyes, everyone.
Isn't it exciting?
Mr. Rice, please. Doyle, where are you, old devil? See? Glass hasn't moved. The old fool doesn't know Dublin from Durban. He's got no idea where he is.
But it's moving. The glass is moving, Colonel. Now, don't push it.
No, I'm not. The strength is moving right, sir.
W. It stopped at W.
Right. Now, everybody, close your eyes.
What are you doing, Colonel?
Shut them. Keep your eyes shut. I'm moving the cards again. Just one or two. Now, stretch out your fingers, and I'll guide them to the glass. Come along now, Pinkerton. That's right. Now, let's see what he does. I'll ask the question. Tell us more, Doyle. Where are you? We've got the W. Carry on.
It's moving. Where's it going?
Can you open your eyes, anyone? It's moved to E.
Where are you? Answer, W-E.
Try it again, Buzzard.
Go on, Doyle.
It's off again.
Oh, it's too exciting, it really is.
Midway between T and L. That's W-E-T or W-E-L. Doesn't make sense.
He might be spelling a long word, like Wellington or Wellborough. Either tis well or tis wet.
Doesn't make much sense.
Oh, we must go on.
No chance, Applewhite. I'm afraid you'll have to put that away.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry. You know what matron's like. I'd lose my job. Anyway, I've asked Annie to send your drinks up especially early. Oh, there they are. The drinks have arrived.
Oh, thank you.
Please
come,
everybody. I want you all tucked up in bed as soon as possible.
Excellent cocoa, matron.
Come along, Henry Pinkerton. Let me give you a hand.
Not again, Pinkerton.
Oh, what a dreadful waste. Annie has sent up coffee for Mr. Doyle and cocoa for Mr. Hamilton.
I don't know what's come over her. I wrote her a note in block capitals.
I suppose you wouldn't like cocoa instead of milk, would you, Mr. Rice? Or coffee?
Well, actually, I was rather looking forward to my milk, if it's no trouble.
Not a bit. No trouble at all. Good. Off you go, Lucy. I'll see you in the morning.
Can I really go now? Oh, thank you, matron. I am quite tired.
It's been a tiring day, what with one thing and another. Oh, before you go, Lucy, be a dear and put a note on the tray to remind Annie about Mr. Rice's milk.
Oh, thank you.
If she's still here. I thought I heard her motorbike a few minutes ago.
Motorbike?
Yes, Annie's mad on machines. There you are, matron. I've written in.
Oh, thank you, Lucy. I'll just take the tray through. Come along, everybody. Time for bed.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
I shall dream of you tonight, my dear.
Now, what are you doing in here, Mr. Rice? Why aren't you off to bed like the others?
I see. You're carrying a book and knitting and a hot water bottle. All three seductive to sleep.
Are you quite well?
No, I don't feel 100%, as a matter of fact.
You'd better sit down, Mr. Rice.
Oh, no, I'd rather stand, if you don't mind. I'm afraid I don't quite know how to begin.
In all the years I've been matron of this home for gentlemen, there's one thing that's never happened to me. I wonder, is it going to happen now?
Well, perhaps I will sit down.
Oughtn't you to go on one knee?
On one knee? Oh, you're laughing at me, aren't you?
It seems I was mistaken. Never mind. It might have been fun. Now my bottle's getting cold, Mr. Rice, and lights should have been out 10 minutes ago.
Oh, let your bottle get cold, Miss Padworthy, because what I have to say is of vital importance to you. You see, I know what happened to the old gentleman. As you do. Don't you, Miss Padworthy? Don't you, Miss Padworthy?
I see that this is going to take some time. I hope you won't be offended, Mr. Rice, if I continue with my knitting while we talk. The devil makes work for idle hands. Do go on. No one will disturb us.
Well, I know what happened to Doyle, at any rate. Oh, Miss Padworthy, why? Why did you push Mr. Doyle down the lift shaft?
Why did I push Mr. Doyle down the lift shaft? He left the taps running, didn't he?
Did he? I've no idea.
You asked me why I killed Mr. Doyle. That's why.
What, because he left the taps running? You murdered a man because he left taps running?
Oh, don't be so melodramatic, Mr. Rice. Obviously it was not only because of that. You will probably have noticed that beside each bed here there is a small table. On each table I have placed a fairly large decorative tin so that each resident may keep a little tuck in his room. Doyle kept biscuits in his.
Yes, but
when I asked him not to, he just laughed. He dared to laugh.
But I still don't see why.
Well, it's obvious. He ate biscuits while in bed. Biscuit crumbs all over the sheets. Can't you see? Can't you understand? He ate biscuits in bed. Biscuit crumbs all over the sheets.
Yes, but I mean to kill a man. Three men, wasn't it?
Let me see. 2, 4, 6, 8, 12.
No, stop!
Knit one, slip one, knit one. This is where the pattern gets a bit tricky. There was Mr. Ross.
cigarette ends all over the carpet, room a shambles, revolting table manners.
What a strange way for a murderess to speak of her victims.
It was I that was the victim. The victim of their bad habits and slovenliness. If people can't learn to be tidy, then they must be tidied away.
Down the rubbish chute, I see. Or in this case, a lift shaft.
It's clever of you to know that.
No, no, not really, because, you see, I came out into the passage last night after you thought I'd gone to bed.
You shouldn't have done that. That's why I have strict rules. No one is allowed to leave their room.
Oh, I admit I was at fault, but it was my first night here.
Yes, it was a pity I chose to do it on your first night before I'd had a chance to train you.
Well, I don't suppose you'll make that mistake again. Anyway, I heard this strange squeaking sound.
You must be a very light sleeper.
I am.
Lucy was to blame. It just shows how important it is for people to obey the rules without questioning. Lucy should have gone home, but she didn't. She shouldn't have gone upstairs after lights out, but she did. She should have consulted me before calling the doctor. She didn't. How can one run anything if people don't obey the rules?
Oh, yes, I quite agree.
I had to get rid of Doyle in a hurry, and having to hurry over a job is always risky.
Oh, quite. But I saw you. I saw you. Half carrying Doyle into this room, he seemed to be sleepwalking, which seemed odd at the time.
But that's the effect of the drug. It's really quite excellent for the purpose.
Yes, but there was something else rather odd. When you came in here, you didn't switch on the light, but you shut the door behind you. Then after a minute, I heard the lift rumbling. Was it always a lift shaft?
Always. Oh, yes.
All three bodies down the lift shaft. What happens when they get to the bottom?
Guess.
Oh, I can't. They must hit the ground with quite an impact. Oh, no, Miss Padworthy. Please, please tell me Annie, the cook, was not an accomplice. Oh, I couldn't bear that.
I wouldn't collaborate with Annie over the making of an apple pie bed.
Oh, that's a relief. Who was the third victim?
Mr. Parkinson. A really charming old gentleman. You'd have liked him. Everyone did. Well, unfortunately, he found out about Mr. Ross. Would you like me to show you how the lift works? For my purpose,
oh, no.
I mean.
No, thank you.
Oh, Mr. Rice, you're surely not afraid of me? In any case, the others were doped first with these giddy sleeping pills. I always carry them with me. I certainly couldn't have done it without them. I'm not very strong, you know. Now, you see this? This is the back of the lift shaft. The lift, as you know, opens into the dining room. But, you see, it also opens this side if I just slide this panel. See? This room was once the dining room. I had the alteration made. Now, there is a ledge on this panel to prevent the lift going higher than the dining room level. But once this is removed, there is nothing to prevent it from going to the top of the shaft, like this. And then the shaft is empty, and you can drop a large object all the way down. Have you a coin on you?
Yes, I think so. Here.
Now, make a wish and throw it down the lift shaft.
Make a wish? I don't know what to wish for. Oh, yes. I wish...
You mustn't tell me, or it won't come true. Just do as I tell you, and listen. Throw the coin.
Good Lord. That sounded just like a splash.
It did, didn't it?
A long, long way down. As in a well.
Precisely. Just that. A well. It is supposed to be 60 feet deep. I brought it back into use.
But not the use for which it was originally designed. 'Tis well. 'Tis well. Perhaps that's what it means. I wonder...
What do you mean?
Oh, nothing, I'm sorry. I was just daydreaming. I'm going to throw another coin. I must hear that sound again. Fascinating. And so, you never replaced the cover. Mm. And so what is to prevent the lift plunging straight down the well?
I fixed that.
all by myself. I built a narrow shelf all round the top of the shaft, and the lift rests on that.
Ingenious.
You're laughing at me, Mr. Rice. I agree it is a simple enough piece of carpentry. Nevertheless, I'm proud of it.
And what's to prevent Annie plunging down it?
It's just like any other well. It enters the ground at waist level, or higher.
You don't seem to have a conscience about what you've done.
I have a very healthy conscience, thank you. And utter faith in your discretion, Mr. Meacham. I know you won't tell a soul.
You called me Mr. Meacham.
I did. Albert Meacham. Sentenced to death in 1965 for the murder of Phyllis Meacham.
Oh, I knew it couldn't last. Someone would find me out and spoil it all. Oh, it was nice of you not to give me away to the others.
Did you love her very much?
Who, Phil? Of course not. I hated her. She made my life an utter misery. You've no idea.
Oh, now, now, don't upset yourself.
Whenever I think of her, I...
She's dead, Mr. Meacham, dead.
Oh, please don't call me Mr. Meacham.
Well, you must tell me all about it, and you'll feel better. But first, I'll get you a drink. We've both had rather a shock.
No, I don't drink, thanks all the same.
Nor do I, except on very special occasions. Like this.
No, I haven't touched a drop for years. It won't harm me, will it?
Of course not. I'll just give you a drop. It'll help you sleep. Now, tell me all about it while I pour you one.
Oh, I expect you'll know all about it already. It was in all the papers. You must have a remarkable memory for faces.
There we are. Just a tiny drop. No, not really. It's all in this very book. You see? Murderers in Our Midst by David Grieve.
Oh, yes, I've read it. Oh, yes, I've read it in hardback. I have a signed copy. Sent me by the author.
Well, then, you see in this photograph on page 17. It's unmistakably you, isn't it? When you walked in yesterday, I couldn't believe it. A celebrity. It gave me quite a thrill.
Yes, you can understand why I don't want everyone to know. How can I settle down to a peaceful, normal life and make new friends?
I understand. I won't question you. Most of it's here, how your marriage was unhappy from the beginning, how you planned the murder for years, even collected poisons in the house. That seems rather careless, I must say. And how one afternoon, when your wife had complained of feeling unwell, you made tea for two and slipped poison into her cup.
Yes, that's more or less what happened, but there are a few details missing, of course.
Of course. Yes. Do drink up. It'll do you good.
You see, in the first place, I didn't do it.
But you were found guilty.
I know.
A miscarriage of justice. Do you know who killed her?
She killed herself.
Suicide? But why didn't you tell the police?
Well, I'd always intended to kill her, you know. I had collected poison for some time for the purpose. Circumstantial evidence was overwhelming. No lawyer, no jury would have believed me. And as she lay dying, she told me that she had a fatal illness and didn't want to live any more. She'd put poison into the tea herself. That's dramatic irony, perhaps, but not, I think, miscarriage of justice.
But you went to prison for a crime you didn't commit.
I tell you, I would have committed it one day. My only regret is that I was deprived of...
Liberty. Liberty during the best years of your life,
no,
you poor man.
Not that. I do very much regret I was deprived of the sheer pleasure of killing her. You know, killing her myself. I don't frighten you, do I?
You did, as a matter of fact. Just for a minute.
You, matron? Oh, I can't believe that I could have frightened you.
Self-confessed murderess? Nevertheless, I have a strong sense of justice.
I'm sorry that I frightened you.
It was only momentary. Drink up like a good boy. It's getting late.
Oh, you know, I feel at peace. I can see the path ahead clearly.
It was good of you not to give me away to the police. Now I see why you didn't.
Well, after all these years of suspicion and abuse, I thought that at last I found someone... Oh, what a fool I am, what a fool.
Society owes you a debt, Mr. Meacham.
I wish we could go back to when you called me Mr. Rice, to yesterday. But I'm content.
How can you be content?
Society.
Society owes you 18 years of life.
Yes, which I have paid. 18 years. I paid. And so now, society owes me a body.
Your wife is dead. She can't be killed again.
Any body.
Any body? You don't mean... do drink up.
I mean any body. Down the hatch, Miss Fedworthy.
Down the hatch?
Yes, this bottle of wool just fits nicely into your mouth. No, it's no use your trying to scream, my dear. Oh, I've dreamt of this moment. Oh, I wish it had been anybody but you, Miss Fedworthy. The lift is above, so down you go, Miss Fedworthy. Now, down with the lift. Give you a decent burial. Goodbye to Albert Meacham.
The lift's coming back. What does it mean? My milk. Oh, it's my hot milk. And he remembered.
Murder by Degrees was written by John Lavinieri, and the cast was as follows. Miss Fadworthy, Richenda Carey. Inspector Parrott, Gordon Reed. Detective Sergeant Ramsden, Andrew Branch. Lucy, Kathy Merrick. Miss Doyle, Sheila Grant. And Gibbs and Hicks, George Parsons. The guests of the Bromley Old Gentleman's Home were Hamilton, Peter Copley, Rice, Hedley Goodall, Colonel Buzzard, Ronald Russell, Phillips, John Lavinieri, True, Howard Gournay, Pepperwhite, Scott Peters, Pinkerton, Nat Brenner, and Doyle, Philip Manicom. The play was directed in Bristol by Brian Miller.